You're listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. WNRBLP Wausau, your verbal extravaganza has hit the airwaves once again. Conversation Digest on this Friday evening, which, real honestly, it's actually only Wednesday evening. We're pre-recording this program.
Oh, no.
Brand new episode. Hey, K-Man, what's going on this evening?
Oh, good. Lots of things are breaking, but whatever. So everything's fine. Everything's wonderful.
Okay, I'm the condition, and the K-Man is here as well. We're using another microphone. We're pre-recording in my headquarters. Not at the WNRBLP studio this evening because I will be working on Friday, which is the 17th.
Again?
Yes. Well, I work there at night quite often. That's fine. But so this is a brand new episode, pre-recording at my evening headquarters of the house, where I will not specify that location. If what I just said makes any sense, then somehow, some way, you can understand a language that can otherwise be described as broken English. Bad English. Also, Michael Bowman is in the house. He's in the other room in the kitchen, premeditating his next move. He doesn't know if he wants to be on the air this evening. And if you know the history of Conversation Digest, you know that Michael Bowman used to be on the air with us, and then through various activities or otherwise situations,
activities,
he has not been on our show more than once or twice in the past year. But perhaps he'll pay a visit to us. Michael Bowman has his own program on Sunday evenings on WNRBLP Wausau. It's called What's Left on the Table, presents Hollywood Sludge, with the half-hour portion of it called
Country Porch.
Country Porch. I don't know what Country Porch is exactly, but tune in at 9 o'clock on Sunday evenings, except for this Sunday evening, because apparently, due to the fact that there is an NFL game, Green Bay Packers versus the New England Patriots, Michael Bowman will not be on the air because the NFL comes first, apparently. So. We've got a huge episode this evening, hard-hitting news up in just a moment, as well as what we saw on the way to the studio. And at this point in the show, we will go right to hard-hitting news on Conversation Digest, JS Online.
I've been waiting for this.
What, the story?
Yes.
Do you know what it's about?
No.
Okay. Postal worker arrested for, this is courtesy of the Journal Sentinel Online. It's a website, Journal Sentinel's out of Milwaukee. And, oh, just to give you a quick warning before we go any further, sweet little Willa Pop, her name is Willa, W-I-L-L-A. She's a cute little mini schnauzer, and her nickname is Willa Pop.
Aww.
Someone asked, a fan of the show asked this past week if her name was Willow Pop, and I said, no, her name is Willa Pop. But I thought, in case you hear a doggy barking in the background, it's because we're at my home pre-recording, and Willa Pop is probably in the background barking at something that's outside on her street. It is her street, no one else's, apparently. If you don't believe me, just check with her. And she's a wonderful little dog. She's a mini schnauzer. And, well, like I said, if you hear a dog bark in the background, it's sweet little Willa Pop.
Doot, doot, doot.
Hard-hitting news. Postal worker arrested for delivering mail while naked. The U.S. Postal Service carrier said he felt bad and stupid after being arrested for delivering mail to a law firm in Whitefish Bay while buck naked. And of all the places that would know better with the whole legal matter of nudity in public, it'd be a law firm. David A. Goodman, 52, said he was only trying to cheer up a 21-year-old female employee of the law firm who had seemed to be stressed out when he made his first delivery to the office December 4th, according to a report from the Whitefish Bay Police Department. Goodman, and we'll locate where he lives, just so you may want to avoid this particular home if you're in Milwaukee, because this guy seems to...
Milwaukee's a pretty big city.
...have some issues. Well, but we have his address. He's at the 7500 block of North Seneca Road in Fox Point. He's cited for lewd and lascivious behavior, and it's a citation that carries a $681 forfeiture, police said. According to the police report, officers were called to the law office in 300 block of East Silver Spring Drive shortly after 1:30 p.m. on a report of a naked postal carrier in the building's hallway. No naked subjects or postal carriers were observed by officers. When they checked, that's what, that was a quotation. When they checked the parking lot of the building, report states, the employee told officers that when mailman Dave arrived at the office about 1 p.m. to make the regular delivery, she mentioned that she will, she still had to pick up the law firm's mail from his post office box. She said Goodman left, but returned about 10 minutes later and knocked on the door. After the woman opened the door, Goodman entered the office where she was knocked. She was shocked to see that he was naked. What's so shocking about that? Anybody's only ever a few clothing items away from being naked. Really. So after the woman opened the door, Goodman entered the office where she was shocked that we already mentioned that. The woman turned away from Goodman, held out her hand, and said, "Give me the mail and get out of here." Well, after him having touched the mail, does she really want it at that point? I would say, I don't want it. But I don't care how much hand sanitizer there is. That mail ain't clean. So the woman turned away. We already know that. What?
Gonna use acid to get off the stink and the dirty?
Well, I think that would burn your hands off, K-Man.
Well, not if you use plastic gloves.
Well, then it wouldn't get the... I don't know what's going on here, but all I know is I'm getting sick, and I might be a little bit moody, K-Man, so if I yell tonight at you, just don't be too upset, okay?
Well, it's not like you yell at me at any other time.
You broke your microphone, and now you're on some crappy... makeshift
microphone. I sound
microphone.
Really tinny. That's...
Yeah, and now the show's going to sound awful.
Hey, it's not my fault.
Okay, well, the woman turned away from Goodman. We already said that. And did she hand... okay, well, did he give her the mail? Goodman immediately began to apologize before leaving the office, only to return about 20 minutes later to apologize through a closed door. The woman said she did not believe Goodman intended to harm her and that her boss told her to call the police. Goodman was arrested a short time later. Whatever. He stated that he took off his clothes, laid them next to the doorway, and knocked on the door, the report says. After the woman let him in, he could immediately see that he had upset her and immediately felt bad and stupid. He apologized, left the office, and got dressed. Goodman told officers the woman had seemed stressed out. We already know that, Journal Sentinel Online. We already know that supposedly she was stressed out. He said he told her he intended to pick up the firm's mail from the post office and deliver it naked. He also said he took her response to a statement as a dare. The woman, however, said she never had heard such a statement and did not dare him.
Took it as a dare.
Was there any... Well, who was the one that... was it his future cellmate that dared him on this one? And was there mistletoe in the doorway? What encouraged this man to do this? He was on the clock? You don't usually do dares on the clock, do you, K-Man? I'm not sure why I'm asking you that, but...
he went postal in some way.
I don't know. I thought that story was going to kick more of a punch, but... Not
it
so
fell
much.
Flat?
That's what she said. I don't think I could.
Wow. We're really going. Here, so. We're going that way out, aren't we?
Yeah, right now on Conversation Digest, what we saw on the way to the studio.
That one place called the Grand Canyon. It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's not something that even matters. It's just what we saw on the way to the studio. No one cares. No one cares. Over there. Over there. What we saw on the way to the studio.
What we saw on the way to the studio each and every week on Conversation Digest. K-Man, what did you see on the way to the studio, which in this case is actually at my house, the headquarters of the condition?
Apparently, if there's a little bit of snow on the ground, going the speed limit is no longer an option. So I guess you have to go like 15 miles an hour and upset everyone else behind you. And what I saw was lots of cars going really slow. And it upset me.
Okay, what I saw on the way to the studio was I'm on cold medicine and my mind is completely shot, but reminds me now of this is the situation that I saw at a drugstore, and I won't identify the drugstore. This gentleman was obviously sick, hacking and coughing and sneezing, whatever else those noises were, but then paid for the NyQuil. I think it was NyQuil. It was greenish, and usually if it's a liquid medicine, it's not going to be...
Green death?
Well, if it's orange, it's a daytime medicine. And if it's a dark color, it's a nighttime. It's all marketing. And then that's what, so that, the, just, this gentleman just pays for this NyQuil or whatever hack job ripoff type of medicine this is. He just takes it and immediately opens it and then starts drinking from the bottle. And there is no real indication that he looked at the dosage.
He's an American hero.
You can't possibly measure the dosage by taking a huge gulp.
He's an American hero. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
K-Man, he's a risk to anyone at that point because who knows, if he lives a half an hour away, he's going to be passed out 15 minutes through. He's drinking half the bottle.
Still a hero.
How is that a hero? How is that heroic, K-Man?
He's putting his health in front of everyone else.
K-Man, no offense, and this is probably where I start yelling. Why is your phone on when we're pre-recording the episode?
Your phone rings all the time.
Bet my phone has a much better ringtone to it than yours does. Okay, that was what we saw on the way to the studio each and every week on Conversation Digest. The K-Man saw bad traffic issues, and I saw a man drinking straight from NyQuil or whatever brand bottle it is so he can start feeling better and have a good night's rest at the risk of falling asleep at the wheel. That was what we saw on the way to the studio, and Michael Bowman has made his way into the studio. Michael Bowman, what did you see on the way to the studio? We'll go right back into it. What'd you see there, young man? He's never worked in real radio, buddy.
I saw, similar to Kanespi, many snow-covered items. I do come up from the freeway. I live in the mighty village of Plover, and it's quite exhilarating to see the night air as it darkened, the night sky, I should say. That's what I saw on the way to the studio this evening.
Well, if the guy was here that drank that NyQuil, he wouldn't have to wait till the medicine took effect to fall asleep during that segment. Okay, and a new portion of Conversation Digest, brand new, something I'm introducing tonight. I don't know if it's going to stick or not. That's how we operate at the Conversation Digest. We try things out, and if you don't believe me, check out the last year and a half of the archived episodes. We tried new things out, and if they don't work, we just drop them. Quite often, we never mention them again. Tonight's portion of conversational precursor to the main topic of the evening.
What?
Which will be, well, okay, man, I didn't really talk to you about this, and it probably won't work out, but I'm getting sick, so whatever. I'll do what I want. Do you know what I am saying? Take the bass line out. I probably won't. It won't stick. I just feel like doing this tonight.
So the real Christmas special.
Yeah, it's a Conversation Digest Christmas special. The real topic of this evening is the feverish holiday behavior that we see before us at shopping centers and at restaurants and everywhere else. And we'll talk about that later on. Observations, what we make of gosh. I may as well just take in 5 or 6 shots of whiskey because the way this medicine has impacted me, I feel drunk with medicine. This is absolutely absurd. I took DayQuil, and I feel awful right now. I have that medicine head. Ooh.
So far, tonight's episode is going quite well. All right. Condition.
We're 12 minutes in. So, also, my karaoke moment of the week comes up at 40 after the hour, which is in a half an hour, or otherwise, oh my gosh, I can't make it much more in this episode, let me tell you. So, right now, the precursor to the main topic of the evening, we've got several big-time toys from the past couple years, and we'll talk about those a little bit and what they meant to us as a society. First up, we've got Furbies. And Furbies was a little hamster, bird-like creature with a beak that said things and really did more to irritate America than Barack Obama. And that's not true anyway, because Michael Bowman loves Barack Obama. Michael Bowman, are you a liberal, by the way? No offense. I mean, I'm just questioning your political affiliation.
Well, as many people define it, by many, I mean you. I am a liberal.
Okay. Well, you being a liberal, what's your take on the Furby? Do you remember the Furby back from 2000, 98 and 2000? It was considered a must-have toy in those years. Did you ever own a Furby?
No, I think one of these later toys, we may get to it later in the show, well, it was a big deal a few years ago, the fuzzy gerbil. But
Bowman.
As for the Furby,
idea for a bit.
This wasn't that big of a deal to me. When I saw it, I do a lot of free association in my mind. I thought of a ripoff of the Mogwai from Gremlins, but that's just my free association I do in my mind quite a bit. that's all I got on the Furby. I don't recall much about it. Well, you got eyes flipping.
Wait a minute, hold on.
It's almost in a similar fashion. It's like a Muppet as well. I'm sorry if I'm bogging down the show here, but
no, well, you're filibustering.
This is my free association.
The only thing that the Furby has to do with the Mogwai is hair. That's where it ends. If you spill water on a Furby, or if you feed it after midnight, first of all, you're an idiot because it's just a toy. It doesn't turn into some gremlin. There's no real comparison between a Furby and a stinking lousy Mogwai. Is it a real? Am I getting angry about this for no particular reason? Hey, man, what's your take on this? How in the world would anyone...
If you weren't going to be angry, then you wouldn't be you.
But how would Bowman make that association between the Furby and the Mogwai? It makes no sense whatsoever.
They're small and they're kind of cute looking.
Well, a teddy bear is small, cute, and hairy or furry.
They're both autonomous. One needs batteries and one just needs a hand up its backside.
Well, was the Mogwai a regular puppet?
Well, I would assume so. Otherwise,
it wasn't a string puppet. It wasn't a.
It's not like a.
Wasn't
CGI
a marionette or
anything.
What is it? What are those puppets on strings called? Not marionette. That's that town in Wisconsin.
Marionette.
Marionette. Okay.
Not marionette.
So the Furby was a popular. This is Wikipedia.org. Your one stop website for toy history. It's a popular robotic toy resembling a hamster owl like creature. Apparently, when you're on NyQuil, or when you're on DayQuil, the phrase or the grouping of words hamster owl-like creature was kind of funny to you. Through a period of being a must-have toy following its launch in the holiday season of 98, which continued with sales until 2000, Furby sold 1.8 million units in 98, 14
Yikes.
Million in 1999. And altogether, in the 3 years of original production, Furby sold over 40 million units, of which probably five are left. Its speaking capabilities were translated into 24 languages, of which only 23 of those languages make any sense. The one that, the 24th one is,
Don't say Wookiee.
I was going to say the UP accent, but that's not nice. So Furbies were the first successful attempt to produce and sell a domestically aimed robot. Domestically aimed robot? Well, I better
For the domestics.
Better get cooking and cleaning. A newly furbish, purchased Furby starts out speaking entirely Furbish. And the unique language that all Furbies use but are programmed to speak less Furbish as they gradually start using English. English is learned automatically, no matter what culture they are nurtured in, they learn English. In 2005...
USA! USA! USA!
In 2005, new Furbies were released with voice recognition and more complex facial movements. Oh, you mean so they can look angry and disappointed, though. And many other changes and improvements. The Emoto... Tronic Furbies, Furby, Furby Baby, and Funky Furby, continued to be sold until late 2007 when these toys became extremely rare. Can we get some quotations from the Furbies? Can we get some statements? Birth of the Furby. Dave Hampton. I don't care. I don't want to talk about Dave Hampton and or Caleb Chung. Apparently they spent 9 months. It takes 9 months to come up with a crap toy like that. In addition to 9 months spent designing the toy, and was it sold prematurely, I'm wondering. Early on, Tiger Electronics showed an interest in their interactive creatures, and Roger Schiffman, enough of this, classic Furbies, the main reason for their popularity was because of apparent intelligence reflecting their ability to develop language skills. No one really wants, I don't want to have a smart toy, I want a stupid toy, because I want to be able to poke fun at it without it realizing that I'm doing that. A Furby is going to realize you're making fun of it and retaliate. Is that a Furby? Is that a Furby language?
No,
all right, well, maybe
something else.
Since we're doing the pre-record for conversation tonight, we'll have to get some Furby language in during post-production. Okay, man, if you can chalk it up as being a priority for Friday's program.
Yeah, I can do that.
So Furbies can communicate. How do they do this? Okay, man, you're a nerd. Can you explain to me how a Furby communicates in the first place?
There's a microphone for it to hear. Really. And there's speakers that play.
Well, you're
whatever.
Skipping over a lot of other things.
You can
microphone.
Shove two Furbies together and they will yell and talk to each other.
Okay, but Furbies can communicate with one another via an infrared port located between their eyes.
Whatever.
Furbies start out speaking entirely Furbish. We already know this, Wikipedia. We already know this. They're programmed, however, to speak less and less Furbish. We know this, too! You already said this.
USA!
Wikipedia.
USA!
As a result of what is the myth? This there was a common misconception that they repeated words that were said around them. This belief most likely stems from the fact that it is possible to have the Furby say certain pre-programmed words or phrases more often by petting it whenever these words are said. As a result of this myth, several intelligence agencies banned them from their offices.
They don't seem very intelligent agency to me.
Well, we had the Furby baby investigation. FBI.
My God.
A simple electric motor and a system of cams and gears closed the Furby's eyes and mouth, raised its ears, and lifted off the ground in a full display of mobility. Did the Furby ever show up naked delivering mail? Probably not. Because
I don't think it ever got a job at the post office.
You know, I'm sure there were plenty of Furbies sent via the post office, but also UPS. So the originals are still popular with many hackers. They can be dissected and made to do interesting things. In particular, their advanced audio capabilities and various sensory interfaces make them popular with the circuit bending community. Furby babies, I don't care about them. Furby friends, I really don't care about them. Emototronic Furbies, I mega don't care about them. Emototronic Furby babies, I care about them a little bit. In 2006, a new version of Furby Baby was released with notable features being the new look and more babyish appearance in contrast. I don't care.
When did this turn into the we don't give a crap moment of the week?
Oh, I forgot about the we don't give a crap moment of the week. Okay, well.
Is this what it is right here?
No. Okay, and on this we don't give a crap moment of the week, it is actually a couple of the Furbish words said by the Furbies. These four words we don't give a crap about. Now, do... question mark means what? Furbies say this when called. Doo-dah means yes. Furbies say this in response to a command before doing it. Boo means no. Furbies say this when they do not want to carry out a command. And you, question mark, why will you not play with me today? This usually means the Furby is upset. And that's the we don't give a crap moment of the week, because in essence, who would possibly care about doo-dah, boo, and you? Conversation Digest. The we don't give a crap moment of the week. And of course, there would be the realistic threat that a Furby poses by recording things like sensitive information, let's say in the CIA office, Central Intelligence Agency, but they really don't really do that.
Someone dropped the ball on that.
Well, because if they could do that, that would be one way that we could possibly have gotten this show this evening recorded or pre-recorded, because
just recorded off of Furby.
Yeah,
that'd be messed up.
You broke your microphone, buddy, so we could have had
I'm gonna use it to strangle you now.
A completely pre-recorded program courtesy of the technology within a Furby. And K-Man,
yes.
Would you have guessed it was some sort of infrared technology in a Furby?
Probably.
You didn't say anything about it.
I forgot about it. I gave you
an opportunity to explain to me how they talk.
Been 10 years.
You had a Furby?
No.
What do you mean it's been 10 years?
Since I've had one in my hands and used it.
So you're telling me that you could tell by looking at it that it had infrared material within it? Or
well, it'd have to have an exposed kind of shiny port area like in the beginning, like a front of a remote. Like, you know,
nerd. So if it's like a remote, everybody will lose it.
Yes.
All right, we'll get back to the Furby and the mystery portion of the conversational precursor to the main topic of the evening, which is feverish holiday behavior on Conversation Digest. Right now, hard-hitting news portion 2. Hard-hitting news. We may have a serial killer in our hands in some other state, so don't worry, Wisconsin. Of course, the Midwest is responsible for the majority of the renowned serial killers. What started as a routine weekend training run for a police dog named Blue has become a top priority for a possible serial killer in Long Island. Oh, it's a top priority search. WallStreetJournal.com, having found the skeletal remains of, or cadavers of, four people in a quarter mile stretch of brush off the shoulder of Ocean Parkway near the town of Babylon over the previous 3 days, police closed down the roadway and searched all day Tuesday for more victims. The operation started up at sunup and was stopped around 5 p.m. No more bodies were found, according to the Suffolk Police Commissioner Richard Dormer. Because of the proximity of the bodies, police are working under the assumption the suspicious deaths are connected, he said.
Having four bodies that appear to be dumped in the same area would lead us to believe it was dumped by the same person or persons, Mr. Dormer said. We pay this man to come up with a statement like that? First body was found on Saturday by Officer John Malia of the Suffolk County Police Department's canine unit and his German Shepherd named Blue while searching brush along Ocean Parkway between Cedar Breach, Beach and Gilgo Beach around 2:45 p.m. Mr. Malia was training the dog and chose to search the area because it's relatively close to the last place a New Jersey woman was reported. Such a long order. K-Man, do I want to finish this?
Do you really? Do you want to?
I'm getting a sore throat.
It's
I'm not feeling
you.
Good. I've got
You want
the...
more Dayquil?
Does he want a stand-in reader?
No, I do not want a stand-in reader. K-Man did that to me 2 weeks ago when we did Abraham Lincoln's dissertation on Thanksgiving. Remember that, K-Man?
Well, you stopped talking, so I just started doing it.
Before we go any further on this, the hard-hitting news portion 2 story for conversation this evening, we do need to reevaluate what happened last week in Conversation Digest. In case you tuned in, it was an episode that was, in fact, it was a rerun, I'll be honest with you. And I think it was Thursday. No, it was Wednesday night. I come up with this, I'm being sarcastic here. Brilliant idea that K-Man takes an old episode of Conversation Digest, because I can't be on there on Friday, and K-Man always gets the show on the air, whether it's a pre-record or what, if I can't be there. So God bless you for that, K-Man.
Thank you.
But I said to the K-Man, I said, look, how can we spice it up a little bit in Conversation Digest? There have been some rantings and ravings by some lunatics. The Conversation Digest might be boring these days, which I don't believe ever. I do not believe that. So, but what we do to mix it up, I said, K-Man, make it sound like the Chipmunks, like in the Chipmunk Christmas special. Because who doesn't know the Christmas special from the Chipmunks? It's an iconic audio tape in American lore. What?
I hate it. I hate the Chipmunks.
I liked it as a kid. So the K-Man mixes it up, and he puts 3 hours of Conversation Digest on the air where we sound like the Chipmunks. And so I hear some retaliatory statements like, that is the stupidest thing you've ever done in Conversation Digest. K-Man loved the idea. I loved the idea. I thought it was like an Andy Kaufman type move, you know, where he fools some people into thinking... One
it was
thing,
more like
but
a Carrot Top move.
No, I don't know who it was like. So let us know if you want to email us, conversationdigest@gmail.com, what you thought of the Chipmunk Conversation Digest Christmas special. What you thought of that? And we'll reevaluate that. If you like to, maybe we'll do a whole 3-hour episode of us sounding like the Chipmunks like once every month. That won't happen, by the way. Tonight is another Conversation Digest Christmas episode. And we're not changing up the overall tone of headline or hard-hitting news because it's a Christmas special. We still have to talk about this potential serial killer in Jersey. Maybe because it's in Jersey, it's just someone that had a bad afternoon. It's a rough area is what I'm getting at.
It happens.
The missing person report from Mr. Malley. Oh, by the way, if you want to, hearing old episodes of Conversation Digest, go to Famous Ashtray. .com, all one word, famousashtray.com, and you can hear archived vintage episodes of Conversation Digest and hear the progression, or rather the regression of Conversation Digest in the past year. And Michael Ballman.
Condition.
Do you ever miss being on Conversation Digest on a regular basis?
No.
Why? What's the reasoning for that?
Well, I think at some point we understood there was a time for growth. And our time for serenity.
Serenity now!
For me, I need a little time out of the hot seat, and then I came back to do a show on Sunday nights, and I'm slipping and sliding on that one and still trying to get some traction, whether that be listeners or whether that be, my self-actualization, happiness doing the show myself. These are things I need to work on myself. I wasn't going to get there staying... a full-time standard member of this show. That wasn't in the cards, I don't feel.
Full-time? We did it once a week. And it was a fun time. We had 4 people in the studio, 2 of which are no longer around.
Well, that's full-time and volunteer radio is once a week.
Yeah, you still do that on Sunday evenings. And half the time, you can't even go on the air because there's NFL action that interferes with your ability to go on the air. And then you have to contact the station manager, who I'm sure is a wonderful person.
I've heard several different things about the station manager.
Well, what'd you hear about that said person, whoever he or she is?
Well, I think just like any young man or woman, whoever they happen to be, is that they have certain struggles and they're dealing with the position as best they can.
Well, I hardly believe that the other volunteers would be considered a hindrance to the stage manager, if that's what you mean by struggling. Or there would be a struggle. I'm just joking around. Okay, man, what, you can't be bored over there. What's wrong with you?
No, I was itching my eye.
No, you were bored. I think you're bored.
You're bored.
I am bored. Because the Furbies discussion led me astray. I didn't like it.
I was itching my eye.
Well, Bowman.
I'll pick my nose now.
Bowman started because he was like, well, the Furby was like the Mogwai, and I have no idea what he's talking about. Is this the conversation digest people have missed?
Maybe. Where we start ranting and raving about each
other? About stupid
things
like Furbies, for crying out loud?
We just discuss Furbies and talk crap about Furbies?
I don't know. I mean, what are you expecting for Christmas this year? Furby? Well, good luck, because I don't think you can
find
it.
I'd rather have
anymore.
A lump of coal, because that's more expensive.
A lump of coal is more expensive than a Furby?
Yeah.
Okay, man, go on eBay real quick here, if you would, and see how much we can get a Furby for Conversation Digest.
Probably, like, arm and a leg and a soul.
Circuit bent. Furby at YouTube. Well, apparently YouTube is a video sharing website on which users can upload, share, and view videos. Three former PayPal employees created YouTube in February 2005. PayPal employees? Really? Okay, they were full-time employees at YouTube, and they...
We can get a Furby for $750.
You want to order it?
No.
You mean $750?
$7.50.
It can be the official Conversation Digest Furby. Why not do it?
Hold
on, K-Man. Put it in your charge card. Just put it in your charge card. That or the cheapest one.
Well, it's not a buy it now kind of thing.
Well,
it's
no one
bid.
Else is going to bid on a Furby.
Well, someone already bid on it.
All right. Second portion of the Conversation Digest, conversational precursor to the main topic of the evening, which is the holiday behavior of people around America and probably beyond. They act loony about merchandise. Tickle Me Elmo is, of course, the children's toy from Tyco Preschool. I had no idea what company it was from. Would you have guessed it was from Tyco Preschool?
No.
I had no idea. Otherwise, that is a division of Tyco Toys. Did you know that?
Well, I would assume Tyco is a division of Tyco Toys.
Well, furthermore, there's even more shocking information. Tickle Me Elmo is based on the character Elmo.
What?
And that's from the hit children's television show Sesame Street. What did you say, Bowman? Do you know?
I was just going to do a class F joke and say, are you sure it's not Tyco Me Elmo, you know, based on the last subject matter? Just roll on
we
ahead.
Don't do puns on Conversation Digest. I didn't start to K-Man about 5 months ago. No more puns. Didn't I, K-Man?
It never really stopped me.
No, it didn't. No. The Tickle Me Elmo was the must-have toy, or as Bowman would say, must-have. Must-have. Many parents literally fought over other parents, and this is part of... And this is, if you insist on questioning me, why I'm talking about Tickle Me Elmo and Furbies in relation to a conversational precursor to the topic of the evening, which is, what did I say? Crazed lunacy? What did I say?
Dayquilled.
No. What? No, K-Man, no. How the Furby and the Elmo Tickle Me were the precursor conversational topic of the week with...
We've been going off on Furbies and Elmo for a while.
No, okay, man. Feverish holiday behavior.
Oh.
That was the... Those two toys are the conversational precursor to the main topic of the evening, which is feverish holiday behavior. We have these toys that everyone loves and everyone wants. The kids don't stick to these toys long. Do we understand
You can get 200 Furbies for $200.
Okay, let's order all of them. Just put them
but
in your charge...
Shipping is $50.
Okay, man. Put them on your charge card.
Okay, where's yours?
I don't have a
credit card. I have a debit card.
Well, by all means, let's go. Well,
and we have to bring all of them into the studio every time, and then
can you donate used toys to the Salvation Army?
We turn them on, and then just have them all talk to each other.
Yes, let's do it.
And it sounds like we're in a Furby forest, and then Elmo comes in and starts. Laughing.
Can you get 200 Tickle Me Elmos for $200 with $50 shipping and handling?
Oh, I doubt that.
Okay, so, you know, what do we know about Tickle Me Elmo, except for the fact that he's red? I mean, that's a
given.
He's
annoying.
I thought that the toy was very annoying. So what happened was Tickle Me Elmo was, of course, the must-have toy. Many parents, they did fight over this toy.
$15, it looks like. Oh, there's another one for
$50.
That's
too expensive. The short supply of the toy due to unexpected demand meant that stores hiked the price on the dolls drastically. Newspaper classifies even sold a plush toy for hundreds of dollars. I'll never have a kid that ever gets a toy that every other kid wants, because my kid will be just like me and be completely different and strange and weird. People report that the toy originally sold at U.S. dollars at $20.99, fetch as much as $1,500. Employees injured. A clerk, Robert Waller. What can we find out about Robert Waller? Does he have a criminal record?
I'll go check him
married?
Out.
He was among one of those many people that was injured in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada.
What's he doing in Canada?
Working and living and being injured during Elmo Mania. During a midnight madness sale, a crowd of 300 stampeded down the aisle on December 14, 1996. After spotting him being handed a box of the toys by another employee, he was pulled under, trampled. The crotch was yanked out of his brand new jeans. According to the people, the clerk suffered a pulled hamstring, injuries to his back, jaw, and knee, a broken rib, and a concussion. Did it break his...
Did you really say his crotch was pulled out of his brand new jeans?
That's what it said in here. So I just... was his funny bone injured? Further, Tickle Me Toys. There was also the Tickle Me Cookie Monster, which is a huge disaster. Or it was not a disaster, because the toy actually functioned correctly. There was also the Tickle Me Ernie, which was also, not only unimportant in the broad scheme of things, just like Tickle Me Elmo, but dissimilar to Tickle Me Elmo, Tickle Me Cookie Monster and Tickle Me Ernie were not very popular.
The only real difference between the Tickle Me Elmo and the Tickle Me Cookie Monster is one's blue and one doesn't have a giant yellow nose.
Yellow?
Well,
Elmo's because it's orange, you tool.
According to this picture, it looks yellow.
Well, that's because it's on a crappy computer, no offense.
I know where you live.
Okay, so February 97, Tickle Me Ernie and Tickle Me Big Bird were also released. Tickle Me Big Bird, who is probably just as preachy as the real Big Bird, followed by Tickle Me Cookie Monster in May. Why didn't they come out with a Tickle Me... Oh, I know why, because Oscar the Grouch doesn't laugh. That would have been the ultimate irony, wouldn't it? Oscar the Grouch starts laughing if you tickle him. None of these toys achieved nearly as much fame or sales. With the re-release of Tickle Me Elmo, Mini Tickle Me Cookie Monster, and Mini Tickle Me Ernie were also put on the market.
What about Bert?
There was no Tickle Me Bert. Well, if there was, then we all know that Ernie would have been the one tickling him, because we all know the rumors about Ernie and Bert.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right, K-Man. The surprise edition of Tickle Me Elmo, issued in the fall of 2001... was an elaborate contest. Five of the surprise edition almost stopped laughing. What?
What?
They stopped laughing on January 2002. And instead announced to the people squeezing them that they had won a prize, the grand prize was U.S. $200,000. That is not funny. TMX, and I remember the TMX Elmo doll. Meaning Tickle Me Elmo. That doesn't make any sense. 10 or Tickle Me Extreme. Oh, I get it. Okay. Tickle Me Extreme. Oh, X, as in a Roman numeral. I got it. Okay. Rather than simply vibrating like the original, the TMX rolls around on the floor laughing and smashing his fists in the ground, begging for the tickler to stop.
He does?
Yes. The full look of the doll was not revealed until it debuted on... Okay, well, it's going to look like Elmo. I mean, that's not a surprise. It debuted on ABC's Good Morning America and arrived on store shelves September 19, 2006. Toy experts said that the delay was unprecedented, with only a few people in the media being allowed to preview the product, all signing confidentiality agreements, all of which became eventual Obama voters and supporters. It did not say that, by the way. The packaging it comes in has been designed so that the doll cannot be seen without purchasing it. What? The box includes a preview flap, but upon opening, only the doll's eyes are visible. Requires 6 AA batteries, and it costs approximately $40 U.S. In a promotional clip, Jim Silver, co-publisher of Toy Wishes magazine, said, "The first reaction I had was, where are the liars? Because I don't think anything like that can move on its own." Toy analyst Chris Birney told USA Today, "This is a quantum leap forward, another breakthrough in the preschool plush category." Birney later committed suicide, and no, I'm just joking. But the reaction would not be as unprecedented. The culture has moved beyond that, the whole hot toy phenomenon. He cited the fact that there's not been such a craze since the Furby in 98. However, some members of the media expected a large response, and Toys R Us, U.S. stores, and Amazon had a pre-sale program for the doll. Blah, blah, yeah. Variations, there are other ones, like the TMX doll.
Is there a Tickle Me Furby?
No, but there should be, and there probably will be. Tickle, pickle. You're almost on, or your life. I have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, we're done with that, but that does segue into the Conversation Digest very own feature, the Conditions Karaoke Moment of the Week, whereby I sing a song, or actually, we play a song, actually, that's pre-recorded. It's a real version of a song that I have at one time or another sang in karaoke at a particular venue that we will not identify for this particular moment of our lives.
Which song did you do this week?
It was a karaoke Christmas song is what it was. And it was, hold on a moment here. What is that song called?
Describe it a little bit.
No, it's the Grinch,
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Okay, that's what it was. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
All right, well, I sang that in karaoke several years ago for Christmas. And no one liked my rendition because apparently I sound nothing like Dr. Seuss or Boris Karloff. So right
Does
now,
anyone I'm, know what Dr. Seuss sounds like?
I don't know. I assume that he sounds like he writes. Gibberish and crazy-like. He talks gibberish and
so,
sounds crazy. Boris Karloff, we know what he sounds like. Wasn't he the one that sang that song? The
yes.
famous version of it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Right now on Conversation Digest, the Conditions Karaoke Moment of the Week, Christmas style. Up next, we'll talk about a little bit more of the real issue at hand, and that's the Christmas... how did I describe that?
I don't know.
The real topic of the week, precursor to the main topic of the week, which is... Oh, feverish holiday behavior. WNRBLP WASA 93.3. WNRBLP WASA 93.3.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap. overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super noss. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
That conversation digest. Right now on Conversation Digest, Michael Bowman will sing his rendition of Blue Christmas. Pick it up, high energy.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
That's what he sings to hot dogs.
I'll have a blue Christmas, that's certain. Decorations of green on a red Christmas tree.
Red Christmas tree.
Without you here, there'll be just me. I'll have a blue Christmas this year.
It's like a really ugly mix of Elvis and Roy Orbison right there. All right, well, that was Michael Bowman.
Who's
on
Roy Orbison?
You know who Roy Orbison was. He also sang Pretty Paper. Bowman, would you, Michael Bowman, would you like to sing Pretty Paper? I do not know the words. All right, well, by all means, sing your own version of Pretty Paper. Just don't swear or anything.
Pretty paper that I printed on, pretty paper that I wrote stuff on,
that
pretty
sounds like
paper.
Pretty Woman, that's, don't be ridiculous.
You came in several reams, and then I wrote down all my thoughts and dreams.
Wow.
Oh, pretty paper.
no wonder I'm so depressed.
We really took a dive tonight in quality.
From the mind of a potential serial killer, Michael Bowman. On Conversation Digest, we're talking about Elmo, Tickle Me, TMX version, and also the Furbies. We're talking about crazed holiday antics of people that are at stores and restaurants and maybe even churches. Can you tell me any stories of any crazy activities going on during the holidays, K-Man or Bowman?
Black Friday's kind of crazy.
And what have you seen? What did you experience?
Oh, I didn't go out on Black Friday.
Well, I think that what we kind of forget as people is that really at the root of Christmas is a story of love and inspiration or religious situations or whatever. I mean, no matter what you look at it, however your perspective is about Christmas, you can't lose touch with reality. The reality of the situation is we should probably be nice to people. We should probably be kind and considerate and let someone sing on your program even if he has no idea what the words are. That is the kind of thing we do around the holidays. Michael Bowman, you know, his night was made when I gave him the opportunity to make a jerk of himself. But you know what? You weren't a jerk. You made it funny. It was funny, and it was clever. It was. K-Man, did you think it was clever?
I
Shut
liked
up.
It.
Shut up. So just kidding, K-Man. I think what I'm getting at is the Furbies and the Elmo Tickle Me. Elmo were a definite result. The crazy response to those two toys was a result of human behavior, and that type of behavior could only be categorized as lunacy. And I shouldn't be saying that because it's not. But what kind of mindset are we in when we fall into the trap of we must buy this toy? We must buy this toy. We must buy this toy. It has to be a Tickle Me Elmo because Billy or Susie does not just want a teddy bear any longer. There's an absolute...
Now they want an iPod Touch or an iPad.
Well, of course, those items are tough to come by if, in fact, they're popular. Now, do we have this year a toy that is in the vein of Tickle Me Elmo or otherwise the Furby? Is there a toy this year? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I doubt it. I don't think we've had
I
don't think we've had a toy that was that popular since Tickle Me Elmo. We could have, like, a Tickle Me condition or something. Tickle Me K-Man.
That's even better.
Tickle Me Michael Ballman. Well, the Conversation Digest, you're listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3. And by the way, Conversation Digest is just one of many shows that airs on a weekly basis on WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. We're a 6-watt station, and we're hoping to be live streaming again shortly, by which we can not only be heard in Wausau, but nationwide as well as globally. Now, we're a nonprofit radio station that is ran by and owned through the WAHMA, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. As we are a nonprofit, we don't make profits. We rely heavily on donations. And if there is any kind of donation thought in your head, 842-8390 is the phone number, 715-842-8390. If the receiver's in your hand, dial those numbers. Can I say it like this? Well, no, I mean, that is the number that if there's a desire to make a contribution, 715-842-8390. No amount is too small. No amount is too big. You just make the check out to the WAHMA, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association, and it is used in very appropriate fashion for things that are needed for the radio station to operate on a regular basis. K-Man.
Sup,
dog? What we got you on right now?
I'm looking for the most popular must-have toys for Christmas.
Well, what are we finding out about this year?
I'm finding nothing consistent.
So what does that say about what we have become as purchasers or otherwise consumers during the holiday season compared to 98 when Tickle Me Elmo was so popular and also right around that same time when the Furbies were so popular? How do we not have a real popular toy this year?
There's a Go-Go My Walking Pup.
It's electronic, isn't
it? Yeah, and then there's a girl playing with them looking really depressed. I wish I was making this up. Oh, those dead eyes on that girl.
Well, so what we're finding out is that there's not a huge toy
Buzz
this year.
Lightyear.
So Buzz Lightyear, which one? Which version?
I assume the Toy Story 3 version.
Oh, funny, K-Man.
Like
very
Justin
funny.
Bieber.
There's a doll that looks like Justin Bieber?
No, he's playing with 3 Buzz Lightyears.
Well, it's a fat version of Justin Bieber playing with 3 Buzz Lightyears.
That's basically what I said.
Well, you didn't say that kid was fat. You said he was playing. You said he looked like Justin Bieber. I added that he was fat.
There's a Nerf cannon thingy, ultimate full auto.
You said Justin Bieber's cute. Off the air. Just kidding, K-Man.
Yeah, that Justin Bieber girl is pretty cute.
Yeah. All right, Conversation Digest on the air. There's tons of other programming on WNRBLP Wausau.
Pump Balloons.
On Sunday evenings, you can listen to Michael Bowman's What's Left on the Table presents Hollywood Sludge, also Country Porch. That's on. That's the second portion of your program, Michael Bowman? Or how does that work? I don't know how you do this.
Well, as we are currently scheduled, What's Left on the Table presents Country Porch airs from 8:30 to 9, where we talk about the 3 hottish issues in life, in the world of the past week. Then we transition to what I call the brand extension, which is What's Up Neighbor Presents Hollywood Sludge, which airs from 9 to 10, where we talk about the 6 hottest Hollywood stories each week.
So what's been the overall reaction to Country Porch?
Well,
it sounds like a lemonade, by the way.
It's been,
sounds delicious.
Well, that's in part where I got the idea from. I, of course, wish not to do any copyright infringement, and therefore we went
Country
with,
Time Lemonade?
Therefore, we called the show Country Porch instead of Country Time Lemonade. It's similar.
You got the name of a radio program from a lemonade.
That's right. The basis of the show really is the 3 issues that we talk about. Is it'd be similar issues to as you would talk about on your country porch, assuming you could be out on one. You know, in such inclement weather, where you go out there and you talk about, you know, how neighbor Sue has chickens that aren't producing eggs. You know, the main issues that are affecting the community during that given week, that's what we talk about during that half hour.
Any retaliatory behavior towards your show as of late? Does anyone say, I hate the country porch?
Well, no, I have heard such things about Hollywood Sludge in the past, but I haven't.
From
heard,
who?
Well, people that are to be remain unnamed.
Did you know them?
I know them in a way, yes. But as for... no, not...
Who
in,
would say they hate
the
your radio
sense.
Program?
Well...
And why did I say that to your face? I have no problem with your radio program. Actually, the significant other, Leah, likes your radio program for some odd reason. Although she hasn't heard it in about 5 months. She heard it like once or twice.
Well, yeah. there's been some hairy periods lately. As I was discussing earlier in the program.
Not on that skull. Some hairy periods.
Some problems with content and
skull.
And staying, as we used to say on this program, on task for a full 10 minutes discussing each topic. That's been a bit of a rough go, but we're modifying, we're tweaking, and that's in part why we added a half hour. We're thinking maybe that first half hour it'll get me a little bit more warmed up.
I thought
for that
Country Porch
hour.
Was about famous people and not about you, because when did this become the Michael Bowman autobiography?
No, you have to remember, Hollywood Sludge is about famous people. Country Porch is totally my brainchild.
Do you ever talk about Schwann's ice cream? Because they're always delivering to porches.
Well, generally, we haven't had the time yet. The show is still...
Who's we?
Well, me and my creative ideas. As
what about your co-host, Chris or Biff Mendelsohn?
No, Hollywood Sludge, Biff Mendelsohn, our name source, who writes the outlines, and therefore I must follow them verbatim. He helps me on What's on the Table Presents Hollywood Sludge. Our
on my bed,
creative
by the way.
Assistant, Chris, has not been with us for a couple months. Which is somewhat unfortunate.
I know he's got health problems, but...
Well, yeah, I know, I'm well aware of that myself.
Is he always watching the NFL games in the hospital so he can't be on the air or what?
I would first, for starters, say be respectful. And number two, I do not think that is the case.
Okay, well, he's going to have to contact the station manager, let him know when he's not on the... Has he ever filled out an application to be a volunteer at WNRBLP?
Well, I think there's a good amount of hesitancy there because he has ideas, but I think he hasn't got the point yet where I think he could fill a full hour.
He's on the air with one of the biggest blowhards I've ever known in my life. You can fill 5 hours with your ideas.
Well,
you're good at that.
He's not quite at that point yet.
Well, no, he doesn't have to fill that much time. You fill in the majority of the time, and then he inserts his statements every now and then.
Well,
that's how that would work.
We would not do. It seems like we're keeping Knuspy off the air, but. As it is, we would have to find a mutually agreeable time. His work schedule is quite the tenacious one. So when he's supposed to be off, he's on. When he's supposed to be on, well, he's on anyway because he works himself to death.
Gave the K-Man a golden opportunity to talk about Jack Black when he said tenacious. You were chomping at the bit, weren't you?
I just thought the D.
Yeah, well, I knew what was going on in your mind, K-Man. What was churning in that cavernous abyss. As Michael Bowman might say.
It's more like a porta potty in my head.
All right, well, you've been listening to Conversation Digest. We're going to do 1 hour of pre-record new programming this evening, and you have been listening to it. And then, of course, 2 hours following, one day, someday soon, Conversation Digest will be live again, maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours. You have to understand, busy. And I'll be doing this for the next 5 minutes to fill up until the top of the hour. Busy.
Well, he's busy saying that.
Busy.
Don't forget the Lullaby Explosion at 10 p.m., yo.
That was one of the programs I was going to mention.
Busy.
K-Man has his own program.
Busy.
And then, of course, we've got Martial Law.
Busy. What? Should I keep doing this?
Yeah, keep doing it. Wednesdays?
Yeah, busy.
When is Thursdays? Okay, Thursdays and Michael Bowman, I have an official WNRBLP WASA.
Very busy.
Schedule of programming
busy.
On the refrigerator
busy.
In the conditions headquarters in the kitchen.
Busy,
would you mind getting that, please?
Busy.
Well, I'm sorry, Bowman, but I'm busy, so I can't get it. So,
being busy,
all right, K-Man.
Doing
can...
busy stuff.
K-Man, what? We can cut it off there.
I thought we were supposed to do it for another 4 minutes.
Well, okay, fine.
Nah, that's fine.
All right. No, busy. No, let's... Okay,
I'm busy!
All right, well, let's just talk about real quick here the other fine... quality programming moments of WNRBLP throughout the week. We've got a Better Country with Michael Mirette. I have no idea if that show's even on the air anymore. Never even met this person. Dr. Daniel News, 1 to 2 p.m. on Mondays through Fridays, as well as the VOA Thai Radio. That's 2 to 3 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. And, of course, we've got Boogies and Blues. And Night to Morning with Billy Vegas and his cast of characters.
That's from 11:30 to 12:30 Wednesday.
11:30 to 12:30.
Yep.
Okay, I don't think he did. He acknowledge that change with the station.
It's always been like that.
It says 11 to 12 on my schedule here.
Yeah, but the schedule doesn't have the 30s.
Okay, we've also got Swabhi Veej and Lily Yang on 7 to 8 a.m. on Mondays, and Chai Tu Her and George Nailor on Tuesdays from 7 to 8. As well as Dr. Ren, friend of the show, Conversation Digest, Dr. Ren's very own program.
Thursdays at 5.
And that's on until 6. So we've got also Kenneth, and Dr. Ren's a great guy. And I'll tell you what, if you want to know more about renting or being a renter, listen to Dr. Rent. He was in the transition period of choosing a new song, I think, for his program.
Oh, my God.
One night I was in there, and what is it right now? Well, it was Chipmunk song.
Wasn't that that's the Ender song?
Well, I think
isn't
he was
there like
change
a, if I had a million dollars?
Oh, is that what it was?
Bare Naked Ladies.
I hate the Bare Naked Ladies. I like that mailman.
I like the concept.
I like that
of
mailman
bare
that showed
ladies,
up in Hard Hitting News.
But not so much the band Bare Naked.
What's the
ladies.
Oh, I got you. Okay, also the mix with Kenneth McVeigh and Donald Gifford. Donald Gifford, by the way, that show the mix is on 4 to 6 p.m. on Fridays, and Donald Gifford has his own program on Sundays from 4 to 6 called Halen. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. We've got a golf buffet show, 7 to 8 p.m. on Sundays. I don't even know if that show's on the air anymore. Buck Welch, as well as Hard Rock and Metal. Hard Rocks and Metals. Robert,
the Metal Man.
And maybe he doesn't want his real name said on the air, I don't know. But 8 to midnight on Saturdays. Smorgasbord, Jason Hammerding.
Is that even on?
10, I don't know. We don't have to figure this stuff out, so... All right, that and much, much more. Listen for the next 2 hours, Conversation Digest, Vintage Episodes, Best of Moments, Conversation Digest. You're listening to WNRB-LP Wausau 93.3 FM.
You've just got done listening to Conversation Digest. This is the end. You can go do stuff now. Or go to the website, famousashtray.com, in a little bit of time to listen to again and 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 again. And maybe one more time.